Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to recap in just a little bit here, but if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me. I believe we're going to start out tonight. Let me look here a minute and see. Kind of like it was Sunday, going to be a lot of scripture tonight. We're going to start in Mark. We're going to start in Mark chapter 15. That's right, Mark chapter 15. I looked at a passage in Matthew, a parallel passage. We're going to start in Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. I'm going to let you rest tonight. It's the midweek service. And I know y'all have worked hard. Sister Kim called a while ago and she got caught up at work. Did get to come tonight. And we're thankful for our people that are so faithful, amen, to the house of God. Mark chapter 15, I'm going to read beginning in verse 25. And the Bible said, and it was the third hour. You see why, Brother Jason, I hollered, perfect. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the king of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. They that passed by, they railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Oh, if he had saved himself, he couldn't have saved me. I'm glad he saved me. The Bible said, likewise also the chief priests mocking and among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. That's what the world says. Show it to me and I'll believe. You know what God says? Believe me and I'll show it to you. Just the backwards of that. Amen. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, they said, Behold, he calleth Elias, or Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Here's the text that we're going to spring out of tonight. And I think it's going to take me a little while to get y'all to understand the direction we're going in. The Bible said, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. If I was going to say it tonight, I'm not contradicting the centurion. But I'm going to tell you, truly, this man is the Son of God. Not was, will be, he is, and will forever be the Son of the living God. Pray with me a moment, would you? Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, you don't owe it to us. We don't deserve it. But Lord, you sure do. Help us when you just come down among us. I pray now, Lord, tonight, help this preacher to be a blessing to his precious people. And Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for those that have put their trust, their faith in you. And I pray for those that have not yet done so. God, that soon we'd be able to see them turn and repent and trust Jesus as Savior. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me back up just a minute tonight and just catch you up just a little bit. If this is not for anybody else, which I think it is, there are people that were not here Sunday, but it's for the precious lady that put her faith in Christ last night. We're talking about a series of messages on walking with God. And on Sunday morning, we began a series entitled The ABCs of Walking with God. We looked at the advantages of walking with God. We looked at the adversaries when we walk with God. There are many. And then we looked at the adventure of walking with God. Sister Christy, Brother Chris said to me last night when we left your home, he said, boy, this adventure is something, amen. Just being used of an almighty God, amen. What a blessing it is. And then on Sunday night, we looked at the benefits. That was the B of walking with God. The benefits is they're seen in our living. The benefits are seen in our loving. But thank God one day Jesus is coming. And the benefits are going to be seen in our leaving. Amen. We're going to say goodbye, world. Goodbye. Amen. Not going to need an airplane. Not going to need a rocket ship. Going to take a plain air ride and go be with Jesus. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be. Now, tonight is the sea. How many's been speculating on what the sea might be? Amen. Anybody? Well, here's what tonight is. The cost of walking with God. I'm going to share some scripture with you tonight that's not shared very much. But I'm going to tell you something. When an individual sets their heart and their mind, Lord, I love you and I want to walk with you, there'll be a price to be paid along the way. There's going to be a cost. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible, the way that God has worked in my heart. The way we're starting the message off tonight, and we'll come back, Lord willing, if my brain don't forget it. I want to finish up right where we started. We're starting off at Calvary. And we're telling you that it cost God His Son so that you and I could walk with Him. You see, the Word of God said that when Jesus died, that veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That's important because God wanted us to know man couldn't tear it. It took God to tear it. God opened you and I access into the holiest of all when Jesus died on the cross. You say, well, Pastor, what about the Old Testament saints of God? Well, if you'll read your Bible, the Old Testament saints of God, there was a blood sacrifice starting with Adam. That's why you remember that God wouldn't accept the fruit or the things that Abel offered, but he accepted the lamb, amen. That Cain offered. He accepted the lamb that Abel offered because it was going to take blood. So the Old Testament folk were looking to the cross. You and I are over here looking back to the cross. But the cross is in the middle of everything. Say amen. And Jesus paid a debt that you and I could not pay. Because you and I had a debt. Amen. We couldn't pay. He didn't owe the debt. He paid a debt he didn't owe because we had a debt we could not pay. The Bible said, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now what made that possible? Listen to the rest. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So beloved, the blood of Jesus, Calvary, didn't just make it possible for me to get in the family. But Calvary made it possible for me to walk with God, amen, after that I'm in the family. And it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I don't want to labor the point tonight, but God wanted us to start off with a father that was willing to give his son. I love my son. I've only got one. I've only got one son. I've got three daughters. I love my son. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God did something I don't know if I could do. Amen. He gave his son knowing they'd strip him, knowing they'd mock him, knowing they'd plait a crown of thorns and put it on his head, knowing they'd beat him, knowing they'd blindfold him, knowing that he'd be bruised, knowing that he'd be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, knowing that they would hock up spit and spit on him that loved us and gave himself for us. Knowing that they would get those spikes that look much like a railroad spike today and drive them in his hands and drive them in his feet and plant that cross on that hill called Golgotha, that hill called Calvary. God gave his son. His son gave his life. The least I could do is walk with him. That's the least I could do, is just walk with him. Did you know really that's what he wants us to do? Is just walk with him. Now I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. You could argue with me. You'll be all right, but you can't argue this book. It's forever settled in heaven. Amen. And I'm going to use words like could and will because it's not necessarily going to happen, amen, the way that in everybody's life, the way that it's going to be presented in the scripture, but it could happen. This is what it could cost you. Number one, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of James, please. Well, you don't have to turn there. Just let me read it. You just pay attention to me tonight and let me read it, amen. If you want to make a note and go home and look at the scripture or listen to it again. This is number two because it cost the Father his Son, but walking with God could cost us friendships. How many heard what I just said? Walking with God could cost us friendships. You say, now, Pastor, how in the world can that be so? Listen to these verses and you'll understand. James chapter 4, verse 4 said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know what I believe? I believe when a man gets saved, he don't want to listen to filthy jokes no more. He don't want to participate in that that's displeasing to God. He don't want to look at that that's displeasing to God. He don't want to listen to that that's displeasing to God. He's made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I believe sometimes, beloved, you say, Brother Rick, did you ever have to give up any friends? No, just live for God. They'll give you up. I promise you they will. Amen. How many is there? Brother Jason, you probably experienced this at work. Shh, there's Jason. There comes that preacher. You know what I always told him, Brother Rick, don't worry about that preacher. You ain't going to answer to him. There's a God in heaven. Heard everything you said. Knows everything you've done. He's the one you're going to answer to. Amen. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. When a person gets saved, you know who moved in? The God of heaven. Amen. He moved in on the inside. Listen to this. You're the temple of God. And he said, I'll walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, when a person is serious about walking with God, it could cost him some friendships in this world. Amen. Do you know when God saved me, it did. Even in the place where I worked when I got saved, there was a man there that he spent his nights in jail And he was on a work program. He came to the machine shop and worked during the day. And a guy went up to me one day, and this fellow, I don't remember his name. He was a wiry kind of fellow, kind of thin. I was too at that time. But anyway, I got over it. Anyway, he said, "Tell him, preacher, he'll go to hell for lying." That's what he said. I said, "I can't tell him that." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because it's not true." I said, if he went to hell for lying, I'd be going to hell. I said, Jesus forgives liars. I said, you don't go to hell for lying. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus. Amen. And by the way, beloved, listen, you say, well, I've done everything, other things, but I've never lied. Well, don't worry about it, because if you've done anything wrong, and you have, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we're guilty of the whole law. That's what the Word of God said. And so, the cost of walking with God, it could cost us some friendships. Now, I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. Number three, walking with God could cost us our family. Now, I preached the other night about Noah. You remember that? Noah built a family. Can I tell you, God's in the family building business. The Scripture that come to my mind when God showed me this was where the Philippian jailer got saved, and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." God loves household salvation. He loves it. He's for it. As a matter of fact, God's for saving everybody. God don't want anybody to leave this world unprepared to meet God and go out of this world unprepared. But I want you to listen to this text, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. The Bible said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Listen to these verses. There's always a side of Jesus that seemingly is never preached. Nobody wants to see Jesus in the temple taking them tables and throwing them over, made him a scourge of small cords and drove them out of the house of God. He didn't give up, Brother Brian, and just give a little speech to say, "Would y'all please leave?" Honey, he made them leave. Amen. He drove. He said, "You've turned my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. Get out of here." And he drove them out. That's the side of Jesus, the world. They want the gentle Jesus. They want the Jesus, beloved, that's in the manger. They don't want the Jesus on the throne that we're going to have to answer to one day after a while. Amen. They don't want the judge Jesus. They want the gentle Jesus. But listen to this. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." If everybody in your family is saved and everybody loves the Lord, glory, glory, glory. But it ain't that way in everybody's family. Sometimes a person gets saved, beloved, listen, and there's others in the family don't want no part of it. We ought to pray for them. We ought to be patient with them. We ought to live a life in front of them and try our best to win them. But listen to what Jesus said. He said here, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household." You say, "Pastor, is that in the Bible? I just read it to you." I'm telling you, if you're serious about walking with God and you walk real close to God, there may be people even in your own family, in my family, that don't like it. Amen? And when you stand for what's right, and that's what Jesus, the cross, and we should never forget this, is a divider of men. Amen? I used to listen to, this before I got saved, but I used to listen to some preaching on fence straddling. When I got saved, started studying the Bible, I found out there ain't no such thing. Jesus said, "You're either for me or against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering them abroad." It's important that we walk with the Lord. But if you think we're going to walk with God and everybody's going to love us and everybody's going to just get right on board and walk with us. Jesus is telling us that's not always the case. Glory to God if it is, but it's not always the case. Listen to what he said. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. How many believes God wants us to love and honor our mother and our father? But how many believes there's a difference that God said, listen, love the Lord your God, what? With all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Amen. The Bible said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my name's sake shall find it. You can say whatever you want to. Those are tough scriptures. You come along and Jesus said something like this. Well, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll walk with you. But I got somebody over here I need to bury. And Jesus looked at him and said, let the dead bury their dead. That's tough scripture, beloved. But it's scripture. And it's truth. I'm telling you, you can walk with God and still bury your dead. But in the Bible, that's how serious Jesus was about it. He said, you can't be distracted by the things of this world. You can't let friendships distract you. You can't let family distract you. You need to walk with God. If you'll walk with God, it involves a cost. Walking with God. I use the word could in those things there. The second and the third thing. Now I'm going to use the word will. Walking with God will cost our flesh. I'm going to let you in on something I think you already know. Brother Mike, you still got flesh? Oh, I was going to ask Debbie if you said no. Amen. She'd tell me the truth. Amen. We still got it, ain't we? Brother David, you still got flesh. Brother Stephen, you still got flesh. Flesh is ugly, ain't it? That Bible said when we get saved, there's going to be a war now between the flesh and the spirit. One old preacher said, somebody asked him, said, what is this battle, this war you're talking about? He said, it's like there's two dogs down inside of me fighting. A good dog and a bad dog. And he said, well, which dog wins? He said, whichever one I feed the most. That's why we got to stay in the book. That's why we got to stay on our knees. Amen. If we're going to walk with God, let me tell you something about our flesh. I said ours. Our flesh does not want to walk with God. Jesus came in here when he saved me. And that's why the Bible said, let him deny himself, deny the flesh, and take up his cross and follow me. It'll cost us. Herein is our love made perfect, not that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You remember Jesus had no place to lay his head. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. We can't let the things of this world. A woman got mad at the preacher one time. She said, I just wish you would stop preaching on things. You'd be a good preacher if you just stop preaching on things. He said, come back tonight, honey, and we'll see what we can do about that. She came back and he read his text. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's the difference between a preacher with a spine and one like a jellyfish. Say amen. Walking with God will cost us our flesh. Then he said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you know what died? How many believes Jesus took on himself a body of flesh when he was the seed of the woman that through that virgin birth? You know what died on that cross? His flesh. Amen. Jesus lived a life. He was born perfect. He lived a life that was holy with complete victory. But the Bible said He was made flesh. He was made flesh. And you and I, beloved, need to understand that the old man, it doesn't even enjoy walking with God. It doesn't want to walk with God. The old man must be denied. He must be set aside in order that we can walk with God. I want to give you something. I read you a text there in Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Listen to Mark 8:34. I want you to listen for a difference. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke chapter 9. Listen for the difference. There's a little word here that's different. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you think about that text, Brother Preston, that gives meaning, that gives light to what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I die daily. In other words, well, wouldn't it, God, Brother Eddie, wouldn't it be something if we could crawl in this altar tonight and die one time and not have to die daily? It'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen. If we could just die to that flesh and get up and never have to face that flesh again. That day's coming, but not down here. While we're down here, we're going to have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. The flesh don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to read the Bible. The flesh don't want to walk with God. The flesh don't want to tell somebody else about Jesus. All that goes on is because of Him. That's why He gets all the glory of Him that lives in us. Amen. It's not our flesh. Walking with God will cost our flesh. If you're not careful, you'll misunderstand this last point, and I don't want you to. But I believe walking with God will cost our freedom. Let me preempt this by saying this. You remember the scripture where Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Y'all remember that, right? You remember the scripture where it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So I got to give you both sides of this coin. You remember Brother Keith's last message? Remember what it was about? Service. Y'all remember that? Okay. When Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Did he mean we were free from service? He meant we were free from sin. So we could serve, right? Well, I want you to listen to this text, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In that text, in the context, it was talking about, you know, some could eat this and it didn't bother them. But God said, Paul said, if meat offends my brother, he said, I won't eat meat as long as I live. Amen. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I tell you what, a person that wants to walk with God wants to be a stepping stone. They want God to use their life to help somebody else get to Jesus, not keep somebody from Jesus. Don't use that liberty and become a stumbling block. The Bible said in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I'm going to tell you something right now. I hope you don't do this. And if you do, just take your medicine. But there's a lot of people know they're doing something that ain't right, and they'll say, well, God knows my heart. You know what they're doing? They're using that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. God said, don't do that. It's going to cost us that freedom. The Bible said, listen to this. This explains it well, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 19. For though I be free from all men... You were talking, Brother Jason, Sunday morning, Sunday school, about the organizations. I can't even remember what you call them now. the church organizations where somebody else decides who pastors this church, and somebody else decides how long the pastors stay. Somebody else decides the sermons that are preached. Denominational heads, so to speak. They were talking about the pyramid like that. I said, praise God, we just got a straight line to the head. Jesus is the head. He's the shepherd. I get to be an under-shepherd. I have some precious sheep. That reminds me of something Brother Howard Robinson said years ago. He said, Brother Manoy, he said, now listen to me. This man was full of wisdom, brother. I'd give anything if you could have met him, Brother Jason, Brother Brian. I mean, he helped young preachers. Y'all ain't that young, but anyway, you know what I mean. He said, Brother Manoy, he said, you got to feed the sheep. He said, you get in that pulpit and start shearing them every Sunday. He said, you don't shear sheep every Sunday. He said, you start shearing them every Sunday, you're going to look around, you ain't going to have no sheep. He said, you shear sheep once a year. You don't shear them every week. You got to feed them. Feed. I hadn't been here long, 4 or 5 months. Some of y'all have been here. You remember that message? I don't remember what it was. Man, it was rough. I knew when I got done, Brother Brian, there were going to be guts and gallbladders hanging from the chandeliers. Amen. I know this. I don't enjoy preaching like that. But if God puts it on me, I got to preach it. Amen. You can just take it up with Him. Say amen. But I'll never forget what Brother Gary Turbyfield told me that day after the meeting. He said, Brother Rick, he said, we don't care how rough it gets, long as we know you love us. I said, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Brother Ralph, the average church couldn't have took it. Say amen. They'd have spit it back all over you. They'd have been hollering, crucify him. Crucify him. Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Tell you what they want in 2024. Exhort, exhort, exhort. Exhort, exhort, exhort. That's what the average Christian wants in 2024. That's why they're flocking. The fellow, they say, well, how come you never preach against sin? That ain't in my lane. I just hope and pray that his lane ends up in heaven. Because God calls men to preach the whole counsel. Whole counsel of God. Now listen to this. This is where it gets good. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself, this is 1 Corinthians 9:19, servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews, Paul said, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Paul said, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul wasn't a compromiser. But he had men's souls. He said, God, you didn't set me free on that Damascus road to do what I want to do. You set me free to do what you want me to do. He made himself a servant. And walking with God will cost and freedom. Paul said, this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. I read this and we finish this up. We'll just say another word or two about Calvary. We'll be finished. I want you to listen to this. It makes a lot of sense. This is called the discipline of service. Self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with God deep inside. If I'm understanding what that man was trying to get across right there, true service comes as you walk with God.
Yeah.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
And it's Christ in us. We're laborers together with God. Remember what he said we could do without him? Nothing. But Paul comes along in Philippians and says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with God deep inside. That's why the Pharisees, Jesus would look at them and say, you hypocrites, you generation of vipers. You've made clean the outside of the cup. They had this pretty show that they put on. They'd stand on the street corner and pray, and they wanted everybody to hear them. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Jesus, he knew the difference between those that were walking with God and those that were trying to serve him in their own effort. Self-righteous servant is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Did y'all get that? Little things. Little things. The self-righteous, they won't be involved in whatever's a big deal that's going on. But when you're walking with God, I heard this years ago, don't matter who gets the credit, long as God gets the glory. And if God don't get the glory, we're in a mess. He said, self-righteous service requires external rewards. Pat me on the back and I'll do something for God. True service rests contented in hiddenness. Don't matter whether anybody sees it or not. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and faithfully because there's a need. How many believes that song, people need the Lord? That's the greatest need right there, people. That's why we need servants, because people need the Lord. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. It insists on meeting the need, even when to do so would be destructive. True service can withhold the service as freely as perform it. Self-righteous service fractures community. True service, on the other hand, builds community. When we talk about the cost, it could cost us our friendship. It could cost us our family. It will cost us our flesh. And it will cost us our freedom. God didn't set us free to do whatever we want to do. I don't know, Brother Brian, you ever hear the story about the preacher that was laying in the bed one morning? And his wife said, get up, honey, it's time to go to church. He said, I don't think I'm going today. She said, yes, you are. He said, give me three good reasons why I ought to go. He said, number one, you love the Lord. You know you love the Lord. He said, number two, you love God's people. I know you love God's people. Number three, you're the pastor. Get up. The flesh don't always feel like doing what's right. But there's a man on the inside that can help us to do what's right, even when we don't feel like it. I want you to see this verse. Turn in your Bible, please. I think it's 2 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24. I want you to see this verse. David is buying a burying place here. And King David Let me just back up and read this so you get it in its context. In verse 21, and Arnall said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stopped from the people." Verse 22, and Arnall said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for a burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of oxen for wood." All these things did Arnall as a king, gave unto the king. And Arnall said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king, this is David, he said unto Arnall, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I believe the world is full of Christians that want to serve God. They want to walk with God, but they're not willing to pay the price. I use the word convenient. I'll go to church if it's convenient. Many times when people give an offering that's supposed to be a tithe, what it is a leftover. Y'all hearing me? I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop tonight. I know that ain't you. Surely that ain't you. But David said, "How am I going to offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing?" And here's what I want to close with. If our Lord was willing to give his son, and his son was willing to give his life, shouldn't we be willing? If there's a price to pay, say, "Lord, you're worthy." How many's ever heard somebody broken in an altar say something like this? "Whatever it takes, Lord." Well, we could have revival in America if God's people could get back here. "Lord, whatever it takes, I want to walk with you." Carol Robertson sang a song years ago. I think of it often. "I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want my life to be all God wants it to be. I want the people to see Jesus in me." I think that's a worthy desire, don't you? How many believes it'll be a lot easier to accomplish that if we just walk with him? I do. I thank you for coming tonight. What I preach tonight's not popular. I know that. But it's right. Brother Keith and Sister Sandra are going to get on a plane and go to a place where they could catch a disease that would take their very life. Y'all know that, don't you? Where they could run into somebody with hatred in their heart that hates Christians, hates the Bible, that would take their life. You know where they've come to a place? It's worth it. Those little boys and girls, those preachers that they're training in Africa, those meetings where they come and sit for hours on the floor, they'll walk for hours, they'll ride bicycles. He showed me a parking lot. There wasn't one motorized vehicle in it. It was all bicycles. They'll ride for hours. And you get up and preach. You don't preach an hour in Africa. Honey, you're just getting warmed up. Amen. They're hungry. They want the truth. How many's glad you come tonight? thank you for coming. I mean that.